Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. When the prophet Micah predicted in graphic terms the coming ruin of Jerusalem, it was most appropriate that he should follow this by the description of a new and great Jerusalem in the last days. Mr. Overton presents on today's broadcast the third message on the prophecy of Micah, entitled, A Glorious Future for Jerusalem. I am happy to present at this time Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Jerusalem will serve someday as the central metropolis of the whole world, spiritually, politically, and economically. This is in accordance with the Hebrew prophets and the other scriptures as well. Probably at a major civic gathering in Jerusalem, with the leaders of ancient Israel's national life present, the prophet Micah had delivered a grand indictment against princes, prophets, and priests. He declared, On account of you, Zion will be plowed as a field, Jerusalem will become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the temple will become high places of a forest. It was most appropriate that this prophecy of Jerusalem's ruin should be followed immediately by a prophecy of a new Jerusalem in the last days. The proclamation given by the prophet Micah is famous and beautiful. And it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. And many nations will come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples and render decisions for mighty distant nations. Then they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. And each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, with no one to make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. These beautiful statements are most authoritative, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. The three opening verses of this most refreshing prophecy appear as nearly an exact duplicate in the great prophecy of Isaiah. God has granted this promise of millennial blessing through two of his prophets, Micah and Isaiah. The expression in the last days is used often by the prophets. The phrase embraces that period preceding and ushering in the Messianic Age, as well as the great Messianic Age itself. Micah speaks clearly of the time of Messiah's reign over a restored and regathered nation of Israel to the great blessing of all the nations of the world. This passage declares that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised above the hills, all peoples and many nations will come. The special elevation promised is more than that of spiritual and moral dignity. For the Hebrew prophets also predict very remarkable topographical changes. The prophet Zechariah, for example, describes great physical changes brought about by an earthquake that occurs when the feet of the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus, touches the Mount of Olives before Jerusalem at his return. Notice this prediction. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. The Lord will bring the godly remnant in Israel into this kingdom, but it will not be restricted to them. The prophecy states that the peoples and nations throughout the entire earth will flow or be spontaneously and irresistibly drawn to the very center of the Messiah's kingdom, Jerusalem. They will become the redeemed nations. They will exhort one another to resort to the city of Messiah's throne and to receive instruction in the ways of the one true God. The house of God, located in a commanding and elevated position, will receive the regular worship of the nations. From this sanctuary, the prophet declares, will go forth the law. Now, it may be difficult for us today to imagine that from the great capital cities of the world, if you please, Washington, Moscow, London, Paris, Cairo, Singapore, and many others, multitudes of people journeying to Jerusalem to learn the ways and the will of God. But it will take place, as the prophet Micah states, in that approaching era of the personal, visible reign of the Messiah, the Lord Yeshua, sitting upon the throne of David, his father. He will be not only king and teacher in this era, but he will act as judge. He will be the final arbiter in any disputes among the nations. For the prophet states, he will judge between many peoples and render decisions for mighty distant nations. Today, the arguments and efforts relating to weapons, nuclear freeze, arms reduction, and the like go on and on and on. So do the conflicts. But in that day, no need will exist to resort to force. The effect of the personal reign of the Messiah will be peace. Are there any words more beautiful than these? Then they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. What a glorious prospect these words present. That which is impossible with man is to be made possible through God. It must be accomplished, however, according to God's plan and by God Himself through the return of the Messiah. The prophet Micah gives a special picture of prosperity and absolute security. We read that in contentment and joy, each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree with no one to make them afraid. What men have striven to attain and failed to attain through many systems and various theories will finally be reached and maintained when he comes whose right it is to reign. In the light of these glorious truths, the prophet Micah now declares on behalf of the faithful remnant in Israel, though all the peoples walk in the name of his God, as for us, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Much had to take place, however, before the vision could be fulfilled. The entire nation would be scattered. For Jerusalem and Judah, Micah declares, for now you will go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. The nation was taken, and a remnant was rescued. They returned to rebuild the city and the temple and to cultivate the land. They returned so God's plan might continue. The prophet Micah now beautifully declares the place of the coming Messiah's birth. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. At this first coming, he was to be rejected. Micah states, with a rod they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. The prophet Isaiah confirms this. Isaiah states of Messiah, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He came, God manifest in the flesh, to suffer for and to redeem Israel and the nations. At the second coming of the Messiah, the one rejected becomes the shepherd of Israel. He will, as Micah states, assemble the lame and gather the outcast. He will stand, endure, and feed his flock, for his people's needs are on his heart. Micah declares, He will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. And now the prophet Micah beautifully declares, And this one will be our peace. He has made peace with God for us by suffering on our behalf. He now lives as our peace. He is coming in that day as the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. Do you know him as your peace? Will you trust him?
And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.